Good evening. Hello. Welcome. How's everybody doing? Yeah, very enthusiastic. Got family in the front row here. It's a little pressure here. I got to hear about it the rest of the night. They get the close-up view here. Well, Merry Christmas. Thank you. We're finally here, right? We can finally exhale and relax, and it's Christmas. And of course, the way we know this is that starting at 8 p.m. tonight on TBS, you'll be able to watch A Christmas Story for 24 consecutive hours. I believe that's 12 consecutive showings, just in case you haven't watched it enough. Have you guys been watching your Christmas movies this season? Have you been getting them all in? No. Yeah, I've kind of been slacking this year. I watched a little bit of Elf over Thanksgiving. I watched Home Alone on Friday, which, of course, is the best Christmas movie of all. And then on Saturday, I caught a little glimpse of Christmas Vacation on TV. It's amazing how many of these Christmas movies there are. I mean, every year they crank out like two or three new ones. There are just a ton of them. And I guess they're just like an instant moneymaker because we all, I don't know, are bored and really want to see Christmas movies and they make us feel good. And I think they're actually pretty easy to make. They're very formulaic. If you ever watch Christmas movies, they all kind of follow the same formula. It starts off, step one. Family is happy and expectant about Christmas. Step two. Oh, there's step one. Yay. Step two. Crisis arises sometime between Thanksgiving and Christmas Eve. Such as burglars show up at your house after you've been left at home while your family's in Paris. Very likely scenario. Step three, family learns the spirit of Christmas, usually accompanied by some miracle. And finally, step four, Christmas bliss ensues. Yay. So they're very easy to do. And in this case, I mean, if we're following this framework, we're right in the conclusion now, right? We're right at the end here. Tonight and tomorrow is supposed to be this time when the miracles come, when healing arrives. It's this Christmas is this culmination and this conclusion. This night where all our problems resolve, and for one day, everything is right with the world. And this idea of Christmas's conclusion has kind of permeated our society, and I think it's only kind of enforced by the Christmas season, which is now just gets longer and longer every year. You guys know the Christmas sales have been on since Thanksgiving. The red cups have been in Starbucks since early November. And Christmas candy has been on the shelves, I think, since Halloween, maybe even before that. And here we are, finally at the end. There's no more presents to buy, hopefully. Hopefully, most of the parties are done. It's finally this season where we can kind of let down. The traffic, hopefully, is finally cleared up. Christmas is here, and it's the silent night, because for once, we don't have anything to do. Now, those of us who, those of you who have to cook tomorrow, you're probably mad at me right now. But you get the idea. It's this time where we can finally like relax after 2 months of just running like crazy to get through the holiday season. And again, even outside of our movies, Christmas becomes this conclusion, this culmination, this thing where everything is supposed to come together for this sense of peace. The only problem with this view, of course, as most of us know, is it's not really true. In fact, this view tends to lead Christmas. I think Christmas becomes one or two things in this view of Christmas as this conclusion. Christmas either becomes a painkiller or a source of pain itself. For many of us, we really do experience this Christmas excitement. We get to go to parties, we get to decorate, family comes home. It's this wonderful kind of idyllic time. Christmas may even be the one day of the year that we actually go to church and feel a little gooey about this whole Jesus thing. And it's not a bad thing. I don't want to take this away. But the question is, how long does it last? Is it December 26th? Or is it January 2nd when everyone finally gets back to work? Or how about when that credit card bill comes in from all the holiday shopping we did? When we look at Christmas as our salvation, it will inevitably disappoint us. It will become this fleeting moment of happiness before real life kind of comes back and slaps us in the face. We may get a taste of healing, but then it slips away. When Christmas is our conclusion, it becomes not a source of healing, but kind of this anesthetic, this time to just kind of forget everything and feel happy for a day. But for others, I know the story's not so good. Christmas is that time that reminds us just how difficult life can be. We see movies of perfect happy families, and we remember how broken our families are. We see malls packed with presents, and remember the bills piling up at home. And we have to go home and tell everyone that we are still single, still don't have the right job, and still not living up to everyone else's expectations. What makes everything worse is that at Christmas, we're supposed to be happy, right? It's the most wonderful time of the year, right? And for those of us who are truly hurting and truly broken, this can become very difficult. Many of us tonight here are like my buddy Nick. Nick didn't go home this year for Christmas because his dad basically disowned him. And he said to me last week, "I can't wait until Christmas is over." For many of us, the idea that Christmas heals all is not a source of temporary joy, but a reminder of just how broken we are. And I hate to be so like depressing and down on Christmas. It's not that I'm anti-Christmas or think that we should go home and burn all our copies of Christmas Vacation. It's just that I think we have this whole Christmas thing backwards. And in doing so, we miss the good news of Christmas. Christmas is not the end of our story, after all. Christmas is the beginning of our story. Christmas is not a fix on our otherwise broken lives. Instead, Christmas is the good news that comes in one simple Hebrew word, Emmanuel, God with us. Christmas marks something new, a new chapter in the story, a time when God Almighty would choose to dwell among us so that we might truly know how much God loves us. Now, I was thinking about the Christmas story this week. The people waited hundreds of years for Jesus to show up, and when he comes, it's really quite spectacular, right? I mean, the angels come, and they bring the shepherds, and there's a star, and the wise men come, and a virgin's given birth. It's a crazy, spectacular story. But then it ends, and the shepherds go home, and the wise men return to their countries, and Mary and Joseph get a dog and move to the suburbs of Nazareth. And they have to wait 29 years before Jesus starts teaching. For those who were looking for the quick fix for this instant moment of healing, even the first Christmas had to be a pretty big letdown. And this is what happens when we jump to the conclusion. When we look too quickly to the conclusion, we miss the story that is being written in our midst. When we look for Jesus to just come and be this magic instant healer, we miss the fact that Jesus is present. God is present as a baby. God, Emmanuel, God with us. And Jesus, God Almighty, came and he sat with us. He ate with us. He lived with us and he died with us. And in the resurrection, Jesus is still present with us here tonight. And this is the good news of Christmas, the presence of God. It might seem like a bit of a ripoff. With all the tangible brokenness in the world, is God just some sort of intangible good feeling? Maybe for some of us, this is the reason we haven't believed in God this year. This whole God thing just seems a little too intangible, a little too amorphous. For that matter, God might just seem a little too impotent and inconsequential to really be something worth believing in. And I don't think this is an illegitimate thought. God is intangible. And God works on God's timing, not when we want him to. And the healing of God is often not the healing that we long for, but something else entirely. But Christmas reminds us that God is intangible, not because God is distant, but because God is relational. God wants to be with us, to interact with us, to know us and love us. And God invites us to know him, to sit in prayer, to walk with him, to talk with him, to dwell with him through all the days of our life. And in this relationship, we don't find this immediate healing that we are looking for, this immediate solution. But I think when we open up to God's presence with us, we find something that is so much deeper. A healing that comes in relationship with God. If you struggle with compulsions or addictions, it's possible that God can take this away today, but it's more likely that God will teach you a better way to live. Or if you're here tonight and you struggle with depression, it's possible that God can heal everything tomorrow, but more likely God will sit with you and dwell with you and tell you that he loves you over and over again so that you might know self-worth. And if you're struggling with broken relationships, God might bring just perfect marital bliss tomorrow or perfect friendships, but it's more likely that God will show you forgiveness and teach you forgiveness so that you might find healing and reconciliation. If you've lost someone this year, there is a conclusion in the resurrection, but Christmas promises us God with us, that God will dwell with us amidst the mourning, the long season of mourning and renewal. And I'll admit, this is an ambiguous healing. It's easy to overlook. But I believe that this is a healing that is so much deeper than that quick fix of Christmas that we often look for. It's a healing that does not skip right to the resurrection and tell us everything is okay, but instead a healing that goes through the cross and enters into our dark places and brings light. A healing that tells us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, as Paul says. This is the healing of Emmanuel, God with us. And so we have hope. And hope is a biblical concept. It's not this wishy-washy idea of, I just kind of hope that happens tomorrow. But instead, it is a confident expectation. Because we know the presence of God with us now, we can trust that God is working in our lives for good. And we can say with confidence that tomorrow will be different than today. And in this hope, we can begin living tomorrow's reality today. The healing of God comes pouring into our lives. Healing that was so distant becomes a present reality in the presence of God. Healing might not come today as we see it, as we desire it, but as we saw in the scripture that Mel read for Advent, Christ is the light that shines in the darkness. You know what happens when light shines in darkness? Even the smallest little beam breaks the darkness. The darkness cannot overcome it. Christmas might not be noonday for you. It might be that first break of sunlight at dawn. And though it is hardly light outside, it's a promise that the sun is fully coming and the darkness will not remain. After all, Christmas is not the end of our story, but the beginning. And the promise of Emmanuel is that if we follow, we will take part in the greatest story ever written, the redemption of all things. We will not just receive the light, but be the light of the world to all those who are around us. Emmanuel is not just a gift, but an invitation. We live in this world, in a world of production and efficiency, where we always want to ask, what's the bottom line? And the problem with this mentality is that often we miss the story that is being written right in front of us. As many of you know, we've been going down and spending one night a week with the homeless for the last 4 months. Every week we go down, we bring food and we bring clothing and coffee and sit and talk with people, we pray with them, we share our lives with them. And hopefully, you know, we get a chance to help them make their circumstances just a little better. But I think every time we jump to the bottom line, how many people are being fed? Are we getting people off the streets? How many people did we pray with? We miss the stories that are going on in our midst, the stories of healing that are going on. We went down to Philly on Saturday, and at one point, we're usually up in Love Park. If you guys know Center City, there's Love Park, and then Suburban Station is right next to it. And those are two pretty prominent places for the homeless to hang out. So Saturday, we're in Love Park, and I had to go to the bathroom, so I went down into Suburban Station, and I'm walking back up through, and there's this part of Suburban Station that's all concrete, it's dark, it's damp, and it tends to be where the junkies hang out. It's kind of a nasty place. And I'm walking through, and this guy flags me down. He had recognized me. He said, hey, you're one of the guys that comes down. Come over, talk with us. And it turns out there was a small group of people having a Christmas party. They had gotten some gifts for each other. They had a boombox. They were blaring Christmas music. They were all in various states of intoxication, which was fun. And I got to talking to them, and I ended up talking to this woman, Carol. Carol's 53 years old. She's been homeless off and on for several years. She'd obviously had a drink or two in her. And we talked for a while. We shared our stories, prayed for each other. And that was wonderful. But what Carol really wanted to do was to dance. And she had this music blaring. And she kept grabbing my hands and making me dance with her. One of those things I never thought I'd end up doing in homeless ministry. But there I was, under the streets of Philadelphia, dancing with a homeless woman. Now, I don't know if Carol's Christmas miracle will come. More than likely, she's on the streets right now. She might even be drinking right now. Saturday was not a conclusion, nor will Christmas likely be a conclusion or a quick fix moment for Carol. But instead, for just one brief moment, I saw this joy in her eyes as she got to do what she wanted to do, which was dance. And I think this is what God has done for us on Christmas. God finds us in the dark places of our lives, when we are homeless, when we are drunk, when we've been knocked down and kicked around by society. And God says to us, I will make all things right, but first, we must dance. And this is Christmas. God Almighty comes to dwell with us, to walk with us, and to dance with us through life. This is the good news of Emmanuel, God with us. And God is here tonight. God wants to know you all very badly and tell you how much he loves you and dwell with you and go with you from here. And this is the good news of Christmas. Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, God with us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have come. And Lord, though we could have never imagined how you would come, you came as a baby. And you walked through life with us, and you dwelled with us, and you ate with us, and you sat with us. You entered into our brokenness, Lord, in order to make us new. Lord, we thank you for the healing that comes when we know you, Lord Jesus. We pray that we would see that tonight and from here on out, Lord, that this would be the beginning of a new story. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.